Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for August 14th, 2018. On the line, as always, Dwayne Mullins. Dwayne, how you doing today?
I'm well, Kevin.
All right, and I hope this TFC defeat wasn't too hard for you, especially with the 87th minute goal from NYCFC. Yesterday we couldn't be together for the show, but what did you think? I did a Canadian review by myself, speaking more about Montreal and Vancouver, but Toronto, a loss that was not necessarily in a good time. They needed to continue the undefeated streak they were on. Is that loss going to have some ramifications, do you think? And especially the Josie red card.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the biggest problem of all is the red card. I think, just a bonehead play. I mean, Josie has been so valuable for this team since he came back. They had been undefeated until this game. I don't even know if you can count this game because he was only in it for 11 minutes, right? And now they're going to miss him for at least one more. It's an absolute right call, too. Anyone who argues otherwise is, I don't know, that's fiction, really. You can't take a player like that. It's a period end of story.
It doesn't matter if Callens was maybe selling it as well. You just can't hit someone when the ball's not even close and trying to hide and do, oh, it was battling for the ball. Well, the ball was behind you too, so.
You know, he saw red, literally, and, you know, his eyes went red and he kicked out, and you can't do that, especially when you're, you know, had they got even held on for the draw, it would have mattered at the end. But I think that they did well. They battled well to get as close as they did, I think. But ultimately, when you're this far down, you can't afford a thing like that. You can't afford a hiccup like that. Can they still make the playoffs? Yeah, but I don't think that anything higher than fifth is realistic at this point. And I think had they kept rolling, you might have been able to sort of look at Columbus and thought maybe you could rein them in a little bit. But I think that's pretty much off the table now. They're, what, 16 points back of Columbus. So seven back to Montreal and Philadelphia. Yeah, that's possible, but they have to be nearly perfect at this point. And that's, you know, it's been a lot of karma payback, I guess, when you consider how good they were last year. They're still good. They're still talented.
But yeah, they just dug themselves.
I left the stadium. Sorry, go ahead, Kevin.
I was going to say they dug themselves a big hole, like a sinkhole that was very difficult and is going to be difficult to get out of. And there's a few teams in the same situation. And for me, when I was looking at the Josie play, I was wondering if it's the pressure of getting out of this hole, that pressure that literally gives you no margin of error, that dictated that reaction, that compulsory reaction.
Maybe. I think he gets a lot of stick, right? Like, and I mean, they probably, you know, obviously the fans get on him a lot, but that doesn't matter so much. But I suspect that the players do as well because they know that he's got a bit of a temper. So the same with Jovanko. So that's just something that TFC has become known for, is that they are a team that can get under their skin. And right now when they're trying to battle for every point and more drop points at home, that's really where the season has gone off the rails, is this points dropped at home. You know, it's we talk about how poorly Orlando's been playing. Well, Toronto's right there with them at this point. And I think it, you know, we truly have to put 2017 behind, obviously, this far into the season. They do play on Wednesday night for the Voyageurs Cup. That is something that motivates them. But, you know, I guess Josie will play the full 90 there because they might as well. Yeah. It's a big hole at this point. I was pretty confident heading into the weekend that they would climb out of this hole, that they would get fifth or sixth in this race. Having left that stadium, I was almost 180 degrees. I now think they won't. I'm not gonna, don't save this tweet yet, but I think they're gonna fall this short.
Let's take a look quickly at these standings. We'll talk about the playoffs race today, of course, in Major League Soccer, in the Eastern Conference and Western Conference. It's heating up, and it's a time of year where majority of the team have 9 to 10 games to play, some 11, and some, like DC United, has got 14 games left to play. So we'll take quickly a look at the standings. In the Eastern Conference, Atlanta is first with 48 points, followed by the Red Bulls 47 and NYCFC at 47. Those three teams will finish in top three for sure. The order might be reversed or changed for sure, but there's a gap between NYCFC and Columbus. There's 8-point difference. Columbus is fourth with 39. And then there's another gap, 9 points. And 9 points in 9 to 10 games is a lot, in my opinion. And Columbus, with the addition of Justin Merrim, and there's a crazy rumor and crazy Mark Wahlberg just opened a car dealership in Columbus. And some journalists asking, Mark, you know, you have money. You could buy the crew. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll look into it. We'll see if anything comes out of it. But Columbus fourth with 39 points. There's a gap to Philly at 30 in fifth position. Montreal sixth with 30 points as well. The Revolution is the closest team outside of the playoff looking in at only 1 point back of Montreal and Philly in 29. And then there's another gap. Orlando 23 points, Toronto 23 points, and Chicago 23 points, and DC on 21. So DC might have only 21 points and are dead last in the Eastern Conference, but they have 14 games left to play compared to 10 for Orlando, 11 for TFC, and 11 for New England. Is those 7 points achievable in 11 games versus 9 for Montreal, which Montreal might be the team on, it is a team on the bubble, but in a precarious position because of those games that the other teams do have in hands versus them.
Points in the border, points in the pocket, as we always say. So you got to win those games. But yeah, it's not an ideal situation for Montreal in that particular case. You know, I think that at this point in time, I'd be more inclined with the way that DC has reacted to the Rooney signing. And I mean, say what you want about Wayne Rooney, that play last week, he got my vote for player of the week based on that 2 minutes right there. Like that was just an incredible pass, and more impressive the effort. You know, no one can blame, no one can accuse him of not trying for his new MLS team.
That's true.
So there you go. But I just don't have a lot of hope for TFC at this particular point, because I just don't think that they haven't ever really fired on all cylinders. They do have this Winners Cup on the weekend, or on Wednesday, I should say. That's to me, has got to be your full focus. You got to win that game at this point. So at least you take something out of the season. You can get back to the CCL. I mean, if they miss the playoffs, then they'll get a rest. That will be the one, you know, blood, silver cloud or silver lining to your cloud there, right? That's what they'll have to look at it as. You know, even if they were to pull in fifth or sixth at this point, I don't know if I trust that they could win a game on the road in the playoffs. It's just not the same team this year, and it's unfortunate, but I guess, you know, it was a hell of a party last year, so you can't complain too much if you're a TFC fan.
Yeah, hosted MLS Cup back-to-back, lost it in 2016, won it in 2017, and we'll get to the Western Conference in a second, but Seattle's pulling up Seattle, where they're outside of the playoff late in July and then putting a string of results together. We'll see if they can continue that, and we'll talk about this in a second. But when we look at the Eastern Conference still, Chicago, Orlando are teams that are in similar position than Toronto. But Toronto having the one game in hand and two games in hand versus Orlando and Chicago are maybe well-placed if they can get 2-3 wins in a row. And that's what it's going to take. Not just undefeated streak, but Toronto needs to win a few games in a row. And you mentioned the Voyagers Cup. We've seen the Voyagers Cup over the last few years serve as a momentum boost for the winner that they can translate into good result in the league. Could this happen tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what Vancouver brings. Obviously, there's a second team in this that we need to talk about, too. While Davies made the trip, he had a little bit of a knock last week. These are questions we have. I hope I get to see Alphonso Davies in person. It'll be the last chance I'm going to get for a while unless I go to Germany, I suspect. So there you go. Canadian national team, obviously. But
The International Champions Cup next summer. Maybe there's going to be a game in Canada just to focus on Davies. That would make sense.
Yeah, might as well have a game in Hamilton and have a game in Winnipeg. You gotta sell some tickets for those new teams. I just don't have a lot of hope today, and it was based on the fact that they weren't able to hold. I mean, I guess you gotta look at it, you know, somewhat positively. The fact that they were able to score 2 goals with 10 men is something, it for sure. But it's just hard to take positives when the hole is this deep right now, right? So Wednesday will be interesting. This team has to be motivated to win something. They have to at this point. It seems like their only chance. I guess if they get in the playoffs, it'd be it'd be hard to kind of bet against them, but maybe you should at this point. Maybe we should stop looking at the paper and start looking at the points on the board, because they're not in their pocket right now.
Yeah, stop looking at the paper, start looking at the pitch, and actually see them for what they are today and not who they were last year. That makes sense. But no one wants to play Jovinko or Josie or Bradley or Vasquez or Osorio in the playoffs, especially in a one-off situation where the cream will rise to the top. And if you have a Jovinko, you only need one or two opportunities, and he'll get a goal or two. And in a one-game situation, in a wildcard game, this could be dangerous. So, yes, it's going to be tough for them to make the playoff. But if they do, I know that a Red Bulls, NYCFC or Atlanta, whoever's going to finish third, or the fourth Columbus, they won't want to play against CFC for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other part of this, too, is that you're right. They absolutely won't. It would be the, you know, the worst nightmare for the third place team if TFC sneaks in at sixth, I would think. But they would have to be considered the favorite, the third place team, because they've just been in better form this year. And especially if it's NYCFC, I would think at that postage stamp, as much as TFC's had their number in the playoffs a couple of years ago, that I don't think you can count much again for that. Playing there would be an awfully difficult challenge for them. The Red Bulls would offer Red Bulls game all they can handle last year in the playoffs. So look, you have to look at what's on the pitch right now. That's 100% on this. And they're an interesting story because of the fall from grace. And there's reasons. You can look at the injuries. You can look at this fatigue. You can look at them being a year older. You know, the questions are going to start to come down to what you do with this team at the end of the year. I mean, you have a Jovinko contract you have to figure out. You have Osorio you need to figure out. This could be a very different looking team next year if they do ultimately fail to make the playoffs. There's going to have to some hard choices made. And maybe it's, they have the money and the resources to make it a quick rebuild, but it might be a bit of a rebuild next year if they turn this roster over. You can imagine they're not going to move Bradley or something like that, so it's going to still, they're still going to have some talent in the midfield there. They're still going to have Josie, I would suspect, around, but do they have a new talisman? That's the question next year, and is it time to move on? He's on the wrong side of 30 now, and he's a little guy that hasn't, he's still pretty good when you look at the numbers, but he's never really. 2015 is a long time ago when he first came in, and that glorious season is a long time past, and obviously the championship season of last year as well. But a lot of questions in the offseason for TFC. 7 points back now. Maybe it's not impossible. That's more a case, though, of the teams that are in fifth and sixth sort of, falling over each other to get to the spots than it is everything TFC is doing.
And it's kind of hilarious, too, because both Philly and Montreal are on 30 points. And usually when we talk about playoff position in Major League Soccer, we think about 50, 52, 54 to 45 points usually. Maybe this year someone's got to make the playoff with 36 points or so.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, it used to be 42 was the magic number for a while, but it's seemed to have creeped up around 50 the last couple of years. But I don't know what it's going to be in the East this year. Not to belabor the TFC thing, but what do they have? 11 games left. That's 33 points. They could get 54 top end, which is unbelievably low. So, they need to be near perfect if they're going to get close to 50, which I think would absolutely guarantee it. But I don't know. I don't have a lot of hope here. I would give DC more chance. They have three games in hand, too, DC. Yeah. So,
and they have Wayne Rooney for those three games in hand. What does change if we see just the presence of Wayne Rooney, never mind his effort, the presence of him himself, gets more space for Acosta, Luciano Acosta, which he's going to be named the player of the week with his three goals for sure. But that'll be interesting to take a look. Now let's travel a few hundred kilometers west. Let's talk about the Western Conference where the playoff battle is quite intense at this point. You have FC Dallas first in the Western Conference with 42 points. Sporting Kansas City second, 39 points. Portland Timbers third with 37. LA Galaxy fourth with 36. LAFC fifth with 36 as well. And then Real Salt Lake with 35, but only 2 points ahead of Vancouver in seventh position. Seattle eighth with 32 points, only 3 points back. Those teams have a good chance, especially with the momentum they seem to be gathering. Vancouver might have played their best game of the season on the road against Portland last weekend. And Seattle continues with a very touchy and chirpy game against FC Dallas, which finished in shoving and shouting late after the game on Sunday night. But Seattle, Vancouver, depending of what Real Salt Lake, LAFC, which looked great the entire season, were first in the West at some point, have been going down the standings, and they could miss the playoffs if they don't have the good results in the next few games. It is that close. Even Minnesota, 29 points, is only 6 points behind with 10 games left to play. No teams have more than 11 games left to play. It's either 11 or 9, except the Timbers, who are third. They have 13 games left, but the rest of the teams in the Western Conference have from 9 to 11 games left to play. And if I'm LAFC, if I'm Real Salt Lake, heck, even Galaxy and Timbers, it's so close that just a few bad results maybe in a row could see you miss the playoffs in the next few months.
Like, you know, Vancouver's only 6 points out of second, right? So that's how tight this is right there, and they're in seventh. So LAFC's a bit surprising, as you say. They looked, you know, penciled in to maybe get one of those home spots, and now they're seem to be going the wrong way down the table. Maybe Mark Anthony Kay was more important than we thought.
He's a it's funny, right? It's the that moment. Boom. And then there's a difference in defensive play from LAFC since he got injured.
Yeah, no, he's out for 6 months too. Bad break, obviously, for him there. So hopefully he can regain that spot. But it's going to be a fun one there. The thing about the West, too, is you look at any of these, God, maybe down to Seattle, and you could make an argument for any of those teams, not just making the playoffs, but I would say like doing well in the playoffs. Like, who's going to come out of the West for MLS Cup? Is it Sporting? Is it Dallas? Probably the favorites, but Dallas has shown time and time again that they can choke it up in the playoffs. Sporting Kansas City is kind of not inspiring, but just effective. Portland's an up and down, all the way down team. The Galaxy, who knows, with Ibra and all that. LAFC is going the wrong way, as we say. RSL is still kind of in a building mold. Seattle, maybe Seattle again. They'll sneak into sixth and end up playing TFC in Seattle. That's what's going to happen.
Yes, of course. One thing that I was looking at yesterday, too, is the amount of goals scored by players. Josef Martinez got 26 goals, but you know who's in second, and we haven't talked about it in the last few months? Zlatan's got 15 goals this year. Yeah, I'm a bit surprised. Some of those goals were not necessarily at the right time, and sometimes he gets good goals, but 15 goals in not a full season so far, I'm kind of impressed by Zlatan. Like, yes, there's been some bad incidents. There's been the Petrasso slap when he was in Montreal and got the red card. And there's been other incidents like this since he joined Major League Soccer. But his goal output, yeah, we knew he was going to be effective, but he actually is more effective than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah, and, you know, I've almost voted for him for Player of the Week simply for skipping the All-Star game, because I kind of like that. But no.
And he's suspended for the next game, by the way, because of it. Well, he was suspended the weekend because of it.
That's talk about silliness in MLS. That one takes the cake. But he's a good player. I mean, what are you going to say about that? It's just like what we talked about with Rooney. It's like when you're handicapping these guys coming in, I think we're too inclined as MLS fans to go, okay, here are all the reasons why it might not work. And then you forget the fact that these guys played at a level that is not even close to MLS, right, when at the top end. And yes, they're on the wrong side of 30, very much so in some cases, but they still have so much talent. You see the goal Iniesta got in the weekend in Japan, too. That's going around in a nice little spin there. So yeah, they got some talent, these big name players. They're not just there to make up the numbers and to get a paycheck. In most cases, I think that's an overstated kind of suggestion. These guys are competitors and proud. But Ibra, yeah, I mean, look, in LA, they were pretty bad last year, and they're in a playoff spot right now. So he's made a difference for sure.
It's still pretty close, even when you get to Minnesota, 29 points, and Houston at 27. But then the Rapids at 23, and the wooden spoon of Major League Soccer in 2018 is definitely the San Jose Earthquakes. It's going to be them at 0.7 points per game this year so far. 23 games played. Terrible. 3 wins, 13 losses, 7 draws. Drama. A lot of drama. A lot of unfortunate events happening in San Jose this year with Coach Starre and the front office not delivering. And it's been just the same over the last few years. You know, when we started to this show, San Jose was a team that was always a playoff contender. And it was on the start of that declining slope that they've been on for the last 3 to 4 seasons. What to do in San Jose? Do you just fold the canvas, throw it out, bring new people in, and trying to rebuild a team? What do you do? For that to happen, you need to invest money. And we have seen this not happen really often with San Jose, the investment of a lot of money outside of the stadium and the league, the very long bar, which I have to visit one day. But that's what I'm wondering is, how do you try to change it? Because look, if you look from Minnesota up, the famous word, the P word that you really don't like, and that's parity. There's a lot of parity in this league, in both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference, but especially in the Western Conference. What do you do to make San Jose relevant again?
I don't know. It's a baffling market. And this team is absolutely awful. And it's because they're worse than awful. They're forgettable. You know, we joke, what are the two teams that you always forget to mention? If you're listing them out in your head, one's Colorado, one's San Jose, and they're both kind of similar in a way. At least Colorado, I guess, brought in, you know, Howard, yes. Yeah. But, you know, there just doesn't seem to be any ambition in San Jose. There doesn't seem to be much direction there anymore. I mean, it's a team that the market lost once before and regained. It's got the historic name, but that's about all it's got going for it. I mean, it was a great team in the 90s. Early 2000s, the D-Row era, I'd like to call it. You know, Landon and played there Landon, in the original day. There's a lot of history there, but I guess those are the Houston Dynamo now. ultimately, their best years happened in Houston. But it's just they're forgettable, as I say, and that's the worst kind of thing you can be, I think, as a sports team.
When we look at the playoff race as a whole, I know you're not a big fan of parity, especially not a engineered parity like it is in Major League Soccer, because of the salary cap and the Tam and Gam situation. The salary cap, in a way, does promote parity. But when you look at Tam and Gam and the other situation like this, promotes teams that do have money to spend on those players. When you look at the Eastern Conference, Western Conference standings, teams that does spend money on Tam and Gam, NYFC, Red Bull, Atlanta, Kansas City, Timbers, Galaxy, you do see a certain amount of teams that spend more creeping up the standings. Is it a danger for the next few years to have more earthquakes, more Rapids, and maybe more Fire or more DC United? DC United seem to change their ways with Rooney and with the new stadium, and we'll see next year what addition they continue to do. But is there a risk with the TAM and GAM and allocation money and those mechanism that does reward teams that do spend money? Is there a risk that we see more of those San Jose earthquakes in the next few years?
Yeah, I think there's more chance we see teams like that than we do see so-called super teams. Because we've seen how precarious it can be. I mean, we talked about Toronto at length to start the show, and that's a great example of how I think that idea of a super team is just a bit unrealistic within MLS, because even when you have the depth that TFC has, and still do, injuries can still be massive to you, and you're a fine line from being at the top to struggling, as they're doing this year. That said, I think that on the other side of this, you well see teams that fail to compete, that fail to, like, year after year after year, are struggling in those bottom positions. I've already seen it. I mean, New England's another example. They're never bad, but they're never great. They're usually going to be around 6th, 7th, 8th, somewhere around there. Not really competitive for a title, not ever competitive for a shield for sure. You know, but I do think that they're... the mechanisms are in place to allow them, obviously, to turn it around fairly quickly, but you have to have that ambition, you have to have those contacts, and I think that this is the big, there's no cap on how much money you can spend on development, no cap on how much money you can spend on scouting and things like that, and I think that this is where you're really going to see the difference in the top teams. They're going to spend the money to make sure that they find the right talent out there, because they still are ultimately working under this cap, so they need to find a smart advantage. They need to be cleverer than other teams, and I just don't think teams like San Jose have that ambition, and that's where they're really going to struggle. The cap's going to keep them somewhat competitive, but to thrive, nah, that's not going to happen without a change in outlook and approach.
Scouting, the one word in Major League Soccer that needs to be talked about more. I do feel Montreal is a good example of that. And there's a lot of teams like Montreal in this league where, outside of Nick DeSantis, their international negotiator, don't have scouts. They rely on either agents or YouTube videos or network of contacts. And you need scouts. You do need scouts. You need people that you trust with a vision and an understanding of the game as you want it to be, to look at players in their own eyes and maybe decipher a skill, decipher a work ethic, decipher a will to win that couldn't be applicable to your own team. And I do feel scouting is the next gold rush in MLS. We have Tam and Gam. I think in the next few years, from the academy level to the professional level, scouting could change your roster without having to spend millions and millions of dollars on DPs or Tam or Gam players.
For sure. And you're right. Montreal is not alone in that over-reliance on agents. That's a common problem around this league. And it has to do with, again, just ownership groups that aren't willing to spend or feel that they can't. And you get in that ruts. Like Vancouver does the same thing too. You get into ruts where you rely on the same agents over and over again. And sometimes you might get a little bit lucky with it, but if you do your homework, you can find in your recruitment, well, I mean, not to belabor TFC again, but their recruitment of Jovanko, their understanding that they screwed up with the big name the year before, didn't do the right homework, so they learned the lesson from that and were able to get a guy who's been obviously a massive influencer in this league since he came in and it turned that franchise around. But that was recruitment and money spent. They had to fly to Italy, they had to hire translators, they had to, you know, wine and dine this guy to get him to come over, and that's the MLSE advantage there.
Literally, wine and dine in a very good restaurant in Toronto and make him show, look, there's an Italian community here, you'll feel at home, look. Go to Joe Badali's. I'm just kidding here. It's my favorite Italian restaurant, but it's not a good one. But yeah, exactly. That's what they need to do. And we've seen this happen time and time again. And maybe with the scouting in the next few years will become the new gold rush. And hopefully we see teams change their ways in that way. To finish the show, Dwayne, I want to ask you a question. I kind of have the answer, and I kind of figure you're going to give me a similar answer. But the MVP race, with 10 games and 9 games and 11 to 13 games left to play, who is your Major League Soccer MVP after a bit more of the two-thirds of the season?
I don't think you can really ignore the goal scoring in Atlanta, can you?
Exactly.
I don't think there's another choice right now. He's going to break the record, so that's your pick. But in terms of your second MVP, I have to think on that one a little bit, but Alarón, what Atlanta's doing is remarkable. Yeah. I think that they're the best team in the league right now. So you could pick a couple players from that Atlanta team for sure.
Yeah, Josef Martínez will be the MVP at the end of the season, especially if he breaks the record maybe next weekend. Who knows? And speaking of next weekend, actually tonight, we have some Major League Soccer tonight, Dwayne. LA Galaxy versus Colorado. Tomorrow we have DC United, Portland, LAFC, Salt Lake, and then we have some weekends game. But we have some soccer to bite into tonight, and that's always going to be fun. As always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute. You can follow myself at Kev Laramie and the show at Soccer Today SBN. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of Soccer Today, the world of football with a soccer perspective. For Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Laramie, and as always, until next time, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.